Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. The Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter, verses 46 to 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever worried about a sick child? I can't think of a more helpless kind of worry. It is one thing to be behind in paying bills or to be faced with a difficult job that will take quite a bit of work to complete. You know you face a challenge, but it's within your power to do something about it. But when the fever keeps rising and nothing you can do will stop it, you feel a helplessness that is unlike any other. At such times, we are reminded that it was not we who chose life for our children, it was God, and we cannot keep our own children from dying. God gave. God can take away. When he does, we are helpless. It's not just that we are helpless to prevent death. We can't understand why our merciful Father would permit such a thing to happen. There's so much we don't understand about God. There's no good reason why a child should die. Why must we think of the God who lets it happen? Does he want to give us pain? Does he not know how he feels? Doesn't he care? When bad things happen and a good God doesn't stop them from happening, we are left wondering what God is like. God hides himself. He sends us pain without explaining why. If the crop fails, we grin and bear it. If the child dies, we cry and bear it. We bear it, but we don't really learn anything. Oh, perhaps we learn patience, but face it, folks become more bitter than patient. Suffering the loss of what you love will not necessarily teach you anything at all. It can and often does just leave you angry and wondering and finally giving up on God altogether. That is, unless you hear God talk, unless you hear his word of promise, that is, unless you meet Jesus. The nobleman in today's gospel met Jesus. He had heard of Jesus. After Jesus changed water into wine, people began to spread the story all over the country. Jesus had power that belonged to God. Jesus had revealed his glory. The disciples had seen it. The word had gone out far and wide that Jesus could do the signs that identified him as God's son. The creative power of God is what changed ordinary water into good wine. To meet Jesus, therefore, is to meet God. The God who hides his face from us and takes away what we love is the same God who reveals his love to us in Jesus. There is only one God. The God who hides himself and the God who reveals himself is one and the same. However, when we suffer loss, it often appears to us that God is far away and cannot be found. So it appeared to this nobleman until he met Jesus. He implored Jesus to come to where his son was and to heal him. Jesus responded with what appeared to be surprising words, almost as if he were callous to the man's pain. He said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Jesus was driving the man to trust more simply and strongly in the word that Jesus would speak. The man obviously thought he knew how Jesus would answer his prayer. He would provide some kind of dramatic display of power. He would go to the man's house and provide the kind of sign that was expected of him. But Jesus deliberately chose not to go to the man's house, indeed, not even to approach it. Instead, he spoke. Go your way, your son lives. Jesus spoke. The words he spoke to the nobleman healed the boy who was miles away. Jesus spoke. By speaking, he brought life to a dying boy. Jesus spoke. By speaking, he brought his gracious presence to a home filled with dread. By his almighty word, he brought that nobleman to faith. In fact, he brought his whole family to faith. Our text tells us that the nobleman believed Jesus' word when Jesus spoke it. It also tells us that the man believed Jesus' word when he saw that Jesus had saved his son's life. It was the same faith. Jesus' words bring us to faith and keep us in the faith. Without his words, our faith wouldn't even exist because it would have nothing to live on. We live on the words of promise. Jesus won't deal with us in any other way than through his word. This is why he chose to heal the man's son as he did. He wanted to teach them and us that he chooses to be present with us through his word. In this way, he teaches us not to seek him out anywhere else than in his word. Most people are very confused about what faith is. They think that faith is a decision that we make. They think that faith is doing something. That's not true. Faith is the very opposite of doing. Faith is believing. It is trusting. It is hearing what God says to us and relying on the truth of what he says. Your son lives. So says Jesus. Faith says amen to what Jesus says. It is very simple. Was it Jesus who healed the sick boy? Or was it Jesus' word that healed him? What a question. Jesus healed the boy by saying the word. Faith trusts in Jesus' word, and so it trusts in Jesus. You cannot trust in Jesus without trusting in his word. And when you trust in his word, you are trusting in him. And when you trust in him, you are trusting in God. The only way to know the Father is through the Son. The only way to know the Son is by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us only and always through the word Jesus gave him to speak. This is the word written down in the Holy Scriptures. This is the word preached from the pulpit. This is the word that is joined to the water in holy baptism. It makes baptism a washing of rebirth that creates and sustains saving faith in our hearts throughout our lives. This is the word that is joined to the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper so that ordinary food becomes the body and blood of Jesus that give forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. This is the word that is spoken in the absolution so that Jesus Christ himself gives here and now the same forgiveness he won on the cross. You can seek out God hidden in your suffering and learn to hate him. Or you can listen to the word of God as Jesus gives it and learn to love him. You can rely on your own experiences to understand God's love. One day you'll think God loves you, and the next day you'll think God hates you. No one ever has learned to fear, love, and trust in God as he hides himself behind the tragic loss of our children, our parents, our husbands and wives, our property and our jobs. The God who hides himself cannot be loved because he cannot be known. But we know God. He who sent his son into this world continues to talk to us through this same son. It is as the epistle to the Hebrews puts it, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Christ is the Word made flesh. He chooses to deal with us through his Word. We don't seek God in our speculations or in our wishes. We seek him in Christ and in Christ's Word to us. Is that enough? Or must God do a miracle for you? If we won't listen to God, we cannot know him. If our faith isn't born from God's word, it isn't a true faith. In fact, it is nothing but delusion. Those who seek after signs and wonders will not find God, for God wants us to seek him in his word. Jesus said that the only sign his generation would receive would be the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so Jesus would be crucified, buried, and on the third day rise from the dead. There is where we should look to find him. In our baptism, we are joined to that holy event. In the supper, the same body that there bore our sins and the same blood that there was shed for us are given to us to eat and to drink, and we hear Jesus' words that this is his body and his blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Do you believe him? When he says what he says, do you think it is so? Or do you think perhaps that his word doesn't take? Do you think you can come to church, hear the gospel, and it just isn't so, because you don't feel like you are forgiven? Would you rather that God give you some kind of extra assurance? Perhaps you can think of a sign that God could do for you to prove to you that he can be trusted. Thank God he doesn't listen to our foolish notions. Instead, he tells us to quiet down, pay attention, and listen to him. We don't know how to find the God who is hidden from us when we suffer pains, losses, and the necessary consequences of being sinners living in a sinful world. But God knows how to find and help us. He says his word, and when he says it, that makes it so. Whether it is the little baby being baptized, the penitent being absolved, or the bread and wine being consecrated by the words of institution, God's word always makes it so. The young man's fever left him at the very hour Jesus said, "Your son lives." And this means that here and now, at this very hour, your many sins are forgiven. God tells you in his gospel. God sees all of the sins that you hide from others. He knows that you have lied, stolen, lusted after what belonged to another. He knows that these sins of thought, word, and deed bring you misery, death, and eternal punishment. He placed these sins on his dear son, who suffered in your place on the cross. There, he removed those sins from you by bearing your punishment fully and finally. Right now, he gives you his word that your sins are forgiven. You are free from them. God said it. That settles it. Believe him. He has never lied to you, and he never will. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We're happy to bring this to you every Sunday morning. We'd also like to invite you to attend services at First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We've changed our worship schedule. Next Sunday, beginning next Sunday, November 3rd, we have church at 8:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, and at 10:45 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Check us out on the World Wide Web, christforus.org. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.